Well, here we are.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. And by the way, thanks everybody for the phone calls the last hour. The emails, text messages, I will get to as soon as I can. I'm sorry, it's a little harder when I'm by myself to get all that done, but I will read those and respond accordingly and or read some of those on air. We're trying to get Kurt Rogers for our Monday Mortgage Minute. We'll get him on here in just one moment. Until then, though, I know some of you out there, we had a phone call even a moment ago of, you know, how do we handle some of these things we've talked about, you know, today when it comes to some of the things we need to try to fight, whether it be our local city councils, whether it be county commissioners, whether it be the mayor of Denver, whether it be school board, you name it. You know, what do we do? Well, you can't give up. Even though it may sound defeatist at times, we cannot give up. We still have to keep doing the things we do. You know, I think Patrick Neville does a great job in talking about how we can still continue to fight the fight, even though we may not have that majority, if you would, or even a strong minority. I mean, we have to still be a strong voice and get the things accomplished that we can where we can. Now, I also believe that we need to be more strategic in how we've done that. And I will say, if there's anything that I can fault us as conservatives in, is we are not near as strategic as the left. Somebody sent me a big, long email about how the left has a great strategy and they've really accomplished a lot. And the reality is, yes, they have. And they've had this strategy going since the 50s. So they've literally had 60 to 70 years to work on and refine this particular strategy. So yes, they've done a very good job, and we have to do that same thing. We've got to have our own strategy and be very persistent and calculating in the way we handle that end of things. Kurt Rogers joining us now, though, for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine, John. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm glad to be back, and appreciate you being with us, sir.
Yeah, I always enjoy talking with you. How do you like your duck fins?
Paddling around.
That's true. You know, if it was a little bit colder, it'd be really helping you out.
Yeah, and we might get a little tonight. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Okay, so even when I was on vacation, watch a little bit of where things are at, you know, housing-wise. And, you know me, I'm always kind of looking at that end of things and checking things out and so on. And it's interesting. I know there's some folks out there, and I don't put a lot of stake in these individuals. I don't think they're looking at the data where they talk about housing bubbles and this thing's going to burst at some point. And the reality, though, Kurt, I think if you look at the data and you look at all of the, you know, the brass tacks, if you would, on what's going on, there is no bubble. We simply have a supply and demand issue going on right now.
Yeah, and I hear that from time to time with people, and I'm curious as to why they think that, because all the indications are exactly the opposite if you're paying attention. I think some people are afraid that it can't keep going, or they want it to stop going, but it's not going to.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, I think you're right in that. I think there are some folks out there that wish there was a bubble and it would burst and things would come back down so that some of them could jump back into the game, but I think that's wishful thinking.
One of the things I'm starting to see is because of the values and what they're coming in at and what people are willing to pay over, it's called an appraisal concession. But what's happening is it's driving a lot of the millennials and the younger folks from buying right now because they don't have the cash in addition to their down payment.
Right.
So there's a group of people that are just sitting there waiting for 3 to 6 months for the houses to, when you're asking the price and it appraises for that, that's what they can buy it for. So that, I don't see this changing for 6 months to a year.
And by the way, and you know, I've talked about this in depth. I agree. And I've, you know, looked at enough of the data and, you know, and some of the things, by the way, and I know this is more than a minute, but I just wanted to get your take on this. One of the things that I don't hear very many people talking about, and I really don't know why, you know, even the experts, you know, Kurt, you know, outside of the baby boomers, the millennial generation is almost equal, if not, I'd have to look at the exact numbers, but I think it might even be a greater populace number than the baby boomers, and the generation behind the millennials are right there at almost that same level. And there's around 70-plus million millennials out there running around. Granted, not every one of them is going to buy a house. There's not going to be 70 million people looking for homes. But no. Even if 10% of them go out and buy a home, you know, couples, whatever, however that works out, Kurt, that's still 7 million people buying homes. We don't have that supply in this country.
No, we don't. And it's funny you mention that, John, because if you look at the age group of who's buying the biggest percentage of, if there's 100 homes, 34% of those are bought by millennials, higher than any other age group.
Right. Right. That's proven my point.
So you're right. I mean, they're trying to buy homes, but their problem is they don't have enough cash to take care of that appraisal hike.
Right.
So they're just sitting back waiting right now because they want to get back in the game because of rates. And rates, right, they keep saying, are going to stay there.
The other thing that I think is happening with the housing market as well, and I think this is something that, again, doesn't get talked about much, Kurt, is everybody expected the baby boomers to sort of roll over, move out of the house, go to assisted living, and there'd be all these houses on the market that everybody would be wanting to move into right now, therefore driving prices down. But quite the opposite has happened. Most baby boomers are living longer. They're very healthy. And a lot of them, when they get into their late 50s and 60s, aren't moving out of one home. They're actually buying a second.
Correct. And the other thing, because of rates, investors are getting in the game, and millennials are learning how to buy their first home as like a duplex or a fourplex as an investment mm-hmm. property and a cash flow form. So you're seeing a shift in how they look at homes.
Well, we're going to come up, for those of you that are listening that are trying to figure out how to make some of this stuff happen, number one, call Kurt, find out exactly strategy-wise how you need to get into that home, especially if you're a first-time home buyer. And then our next segment, Kurt, I've got Bill Weston going to join us. He's got 7 simple budget hacks. He's a co-author of Master Your Debt. We'll talk to him and get some input on that as well and hopefully get some folks your way so they can buy a house.
Sounds good. Glad to have you back, John.
I appreciate it. What's on Haystack Help tomorrow, sir?
We're actually going to have the chief of the police department for Douglas County, Tony Spurlock, on tomorrow.
Nice. Kurt, I appreciate it. As always, have a great evening. Those of you listening, that is our Monday Mortgage Minute, 720-895-0500. Again, that's Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe, too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Franktown Firearms, folks, where if you're looking to buy a firearm first time or you own multiples, whatever the situation, give them a call today. Even some of you that are collectors, you can call them and they can get you lined out as well. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Find more guns and ammo at lower prices, only at Franktown Firearms. Everyone says they value long-term relationships with their customers, but the team at Franktown Firearms back up their words with actions by keeping their prices fair and their shelves as full as possible. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, the team at Franktown Firearms has developed a reputation for reliability, which allows them to keep their shelves stocked during nationwide shortages. Because they always have new shipments coming in, they haven't had to hike up prices, so you can find guns and ammo at or below MSRP. You will go back again and again to a shooting range and gun store where you feel respected, and the team at Franktown Firearms shows respect through reasonable prices and a consistent supply of guns and ammo. Fill out their contact form at klzradio.com/franktown. for specific pricing. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Our next guest, who I talked about a moment ago with Kurt Rogers, is Bill Westrum. Make sure it's West, with an M at the end. It's Westrum. Am I saying that right, Bill?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Perfect. Bill, thanks for joining us. Seven Simple Budget Hacks. You're a co-author of Master Your Debt.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on today, John.
No, I appreciate it. So let's let some folks get on track and give them some ways where they can save some money each month.
All right. Well, when we're looking at our budgets, right, everything in our budget is a commodity, pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being a commodity, there's little you can do with prices coming off the shelf.
Right.
So, and there are multitudes of things people can do to trim fat off the budget. Just know that the savings represent nickels in the budget, and it's not going to move the dial that much. But my best traditional advice is be fiscally responsible, meaning you know the difference between wants and needs.
Right.
Jettison those expenditures that are not bringing you value. You've got to remember, our money brings us value through the things that we buy. And if you're paying for stuff that just you're not getting the value for the money spent, change providers or dump it all together. You know, those memberships that aren't being used, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But my personal belief is I don't think we need to live a life of sacrifice to enjoy the spoils of hard work. You know, we need to be more strategic and own our own strategy instead of following the rules from those that have motives and agenda that don't match ours. I'm talking about lenders and bankers, right? They do not have our best interests in mind.
Nope.
You know, a low rate, a low payment, yeah, fiscally responsible. But here's the message I want people to hear more than anything else, is start managing your finances when you earn it and when you receive it, instead of after it hits the checking account and you try to squeeze nickels out of it and play the budgetary game.
Okay.
All right, because this is one thing that people don't realize, right? Over 70% or over of our paycheck goes to taxes,
yep,
401ks, and debt payments, right? We're talking $700 to $7,500 a month on a $10,000 salary, right? So when it comes to taxes, too many people, they don't know what's on their W-4. It's a zero or a one. And they've got the IRS involved in their annual savings plan.
Right, which is a terrible way to do it, by the way.
It's a horrible way to do it. Don't let those people be involved, especially when you're trying to figure out how to make ends meet.
Right.
Right. That's the first place to go, is go back to the government's pocket and not have to, you know, you live on rice and beans. We work too hard to live on rice and beans while they're eating steak. So I would go to your HR department and get that, your refund as close to zero as you can.
Yeah, in fact, Bill, I'm one that says, and I realize people would have to, you know, set a little bit of money aside to do so, but I'm one that I would rather write them a little check at the end of the year than do the other.
Absolutely. And then on 401k, in my line of work, I see so many people, you know, they're trying to squeeze the nickels out because they got so much of their gross pay going to their 401k because the market's doing great and everybody's on this frenzy, like the housing bubble. It's all going to, it's not going to pop. I heard you say it's going to pop. I don't think there's going to be a pop because I think everything's built on a whole different stack of cards.
Agree.
Than, say, 12 years
ago. Yeah, it's not the same as it was in 2008. Market, you're right. I agree.
No. The housing market, it's going to deflate. I'd say 10 to 15%, and I'll agree with your Mortgage Monday guy. Probably 6 to 12 months we're going to start seeing that. But I think the housing market, historically, it has to come back to buyers. Buyers dictate value,
right?
You know, prices. And if prices get too high or rates go too high, well, guess what? I don't care what your inventory looks like. You don't have any buyers who can afford the home. That value has to come back.
Correct.
Has to.
Correct.
But now let's get back to that 70%. Now let's go to debt payments. All right. Well, real quick, the 401k, if you're struggling right now, just match your employees' match for now. It's only temporary. Get yourself back on track.
Okay.
You can always come back.
Makes sense.
Now we got debts. All right. If you're a mortgage holder, the underwriting guidelines will allow 45% of your gross income goes towards debt. Right. A lot of people take that to the limit. There's $4,500 a month going out on a $10,000 income. So that's the one place in our lives we can control. We've got more control than we do over anything else. And so when it comes to debt, and I know your last guy's not going to like this, but there's no need for a 15-year mortgage. You don't need a 15-year mortgage to pay on 15 years. You just need a 15-year payment. And so I've
he would second you on that wholeheartedly, Bill. No, he would agree with you on that. You're correct.
Yeah, because the deal is, and COVID's a great example, you know, when your income is interrupted, do you want a 15-year payment or a 30-year payment?
A 30.
You'll take the 30-year all day long.
Right.
Right? And I tell people, well, just because of what I teach, extend the term out as far as you possibly can so you can control more of your paycheck.
Yeah, it's called cash is king theory, correct?
It 100%, and that's never gone away.
Right.
But, you know, again, when we listen to every ad you have for mortgages, rate, interest rate. You're not buying an interest rate. Interest rate doesn't help you do anything. Because when we have a debt, when we have a payment, debt payments are the biggest cash flow killers on our budget.
Agreed.
And that's why I say chasing the nickels on the commodities, that's nothing compared to, you know, getting rid of a $350 car payment in 2.5 years instead of playing their game for six.
Right. Right.
Right?
Right.
You're better off. As soon as that payment goes away, complete the purchase. That's what I tell people all the time. You made a purchase, complete it, but do it on your terms, not on theirs. Because if you do it on their terms, you're never going to get rid of it because they're going to tell you chase rate.
Yeah, the other thing I see people make mistakes on in that end of things too, Bill, is I think people forget that on home loans are the same. You know, auto loans are very much the same. You know, they're all, for the most part, front-loaded interest-wise. So if you're deciding that halfway through that process, say you've got a 60-month payment on your car and halfway through you decide you want to do something different, well, these people forget they've already paid the majority of the interest up to that point. At that point, it's all principal.
To a certain degree, right? But I got to correct you. Nothing's front-loaded. You can't front-load interest. You can't do it.
Well, maybe front-load is not the right term. Maybe I'm not saying that right, Bill, but the majority of the interest is in the first, you know, half of that particular car loan, not the second half.
You want to know why? It's because that's when the balance is.
That's right. Yep.
We pay the most interest up front
because
the balance is up so high. So the key to it, the whole debt game, is attack the balance. The balance is what costs you the money, not the rate.
Right. 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 No, agree. No, and I'm a car guy, so the other thing that people make the mistake of too many times, Bill, is they get upside down in a car. And for all of you listening, upside down means they owe more money on the car than it's actually worth. They get upside down. They then take that upside downness, if you would, finance it into the next car, and it just starts to snowball, and they never get away from it, Bill.
Never. And that usually occurs because it's an emotional decision.
Correct.
I want it.
Yeah, the other advice, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I always tell people I tell people on the car side, never buy a car when you need one. Only buy a car when you don't, because you'll make a better purchase when you don't need it versus when you do.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I also school people, put money into the car that you have. If your car needs $4,000 and you can afford it, why not put $4,000 into a car that's going to last you another 4 years instead of a brand new payment and chase that around?
Yeah, I agree.
Again, it comes down to the value of the dollar. That's where people have lost their way, because it's a consumption device and no longer a tool.
Talk about cutting the cord, Bill, real quick. I know that's a big deal for a lot of folks listening, where they're really looking, you know, hard at, you know, what are they doing on, you know, television, cable, all those different things, which, by the way, I think cable companies are really in for a world of hurt in the not-too-distant future, because there's so many alternatives now to that. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, when it comes to all that stuff out there, you know, again, commodity, budgetary things, the one answer I have for people, if you really want to make an impact in your financial life, you got to get out of traditional banking and borrowing, because we give away our money into a checking account every month. We get no financial return, while the banking community itself is pocketing $2 billion a year. Mm-hmm. Just because we deposit money, John.
Right.
If we quit depositing money, they go away. They have no use.
Right.
If we quit giving them our money.
Right.
Now, the way they make money is common leverage. They leverage mm-hmm. our money into some interest-bearing activity, just like our 401k, just like the down payment on our home, that's right. leverage. Well, what I teach credit line banking is I teach people how to get their debt, a portion of all of it, it doesn't matter, into a line of credit.
Yep.
Because with a line yep. of, when your debt's in a line of credit, you can leverage 100% of your income against that debt.
No, you, that's one thing about Kurt Rogers, Bill, that you would love is he has a product, and I have one of his on you know, that's what my mortgage is that we call it an asset manager loan, which is essentially a big line of credit. You pay simple interest on the outstanding balance, and you do exactly what you're talking about on your mortgage.
Well, so you're talking about the asset manager that came from Macquarie Bank
yep.
out of Australia back
that's
in
right.
2000.
That's
I
right.
worked for them. I worked for them in 2006. I left them to teach this to the public.
There you go.
Now, what I've done is I've taken a mortgage-only strategy for homeowners, and I've made it a banking strategy for everybody.
Nice.
Because anybody that has income that can obtain a line of credit can operate this strategy.
True.
You can be 18, 28, homeowner, non-homeowner. It doesn't matter because it's just a banking strategy, not a mortgage strategy.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it since 2006. In fact, I'm very, very popular in Colorado.
Why do you think, and I know there's a lot of folks that have gone that direction, as you say, it's getting more and more popular all the time. By the way, folks, we're talking to Bill Westrom. And real quick, Bill, before I finish my thought, how do folks find you, get a hold of you, and so on?
Go to creditlinebanking.com.
Okay, perfect.
And if you go there and you just put in your name, you'll get a primer that I wrote that's probably the best piece of documentation on the strategy itself. So I hope people go
perfect.
Learn a little bit through that primer.
Why do you think people fear going that direction?
Because they don't understand it. But more than that, they don't know what they're doing right now. They're just doing what they're told. Most consumers don't understand how the banking system works and what's really happening. They don't know how to calculate interest. They don't, because that's not part of our
true
education system.
True.
There's no financial education in our school system anymore. And what they do and did teach is meaningless. So people are scared because the moment their foot hit the street, they didn't know what they were doing. They've just been told what to do. And being told this is all they know. So being told something different, scary for everybody.
Hmm.
And that's the only thing that's keeping people from doing it, is just really understanding the sixth grade math. Because you realize it only takes a sixth grade math education to manage your finance.
Right, right. Agree.
Yeah.
This isn't rocket science.
Simple stuff.
I fully agree with you. You're 100% correct on that.
Yeah, I spent 80% of my time educating people on how things work.
Yeah, and I think to your point, it's that lack of knowledge, lack of education, and or. You know, let's face it too, Bill. I think the other thing that comes into play in some of this is just how some folks were taught and raised by other individuals that didn't understand it either. So it just becomes sort of this cycle of one generation to the next, teaching bad principles on how this works.
Well, I wouldn't say they're bad. They're just outdated. You're talking about Depression-era economics, right?
Okay.
And then that flowed into, you know, the birth of credit, which was really the 80s when credit really took off, right?
Right?
We had Diners Club card, we had Visa,
right.
Remember the old Visa, it just said
right.
Visa. But then, you know, we moved into the 80s and the 90s, and consumption, the plastic card became the rule. But our lives have got more expensive as well. So when, you know, people have credit, oh, you've got credit. Well, we have to have credit. It's the lifeblood to our economy. You don't own a home, you don't go to school, you don't have a car without credit.
Mm-hmm.
But you're shamed for having credit. Well, there's a conundrum. And then when it comes down to, well, people, Americans are bad savers. John, have you ever met one person that said, John, I don't want to save a dime. That's just, it doesn't work for me. No. People are not bad savers. There's nothing to save.
Right. Right. They're bad investors.
You know, when you look at, you got 70%+ leaving for taxes and your savings, right? People say, oh, that's not savings. Well, it is savings. The bad thing is the IRS is involved. If we wanted our savings, mm-hmm. we have to go borrow it back to us from
right.
ourselves, which adds another payment out of our paycheck, which, you know.
Right. And Bill, cash. Real quick, for folks that are listening, explain also, because what you just said triggered something in my mind. Having cash in the bank right now with what I see happening with inflation coming, it's already here and it's going to get worse, I'm afraid, which, by the way, doesn't help that cash sitting in the bank. Talk about how your line of credit banking actually is good when it comes to what we're talking about with inflation.
Well, for one, it's good because it eliminates, when you absorb debt into that credit line, you're taking away a monthly payment.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because now it's under your control.
Correct.
Right? So right there, if you added $200 back into your cash flow, right, well, now you've got a little leeway for inflation, but still be able to attack the debt, you know?
Well, and to add to that, real quick, to add to that, as we have inflated dollars, you're now paying back that debt you just mentioned that you rolled in. You're paying that back with inflated dollars on top of it.
Yep. Well, the point of the matter is, though, put your money to work.
Right.
Because
right. Good
if
point.
You have
yes.
it sitting in
yes.
a checking account.
Not doing anything.
You have it sitting in a checking account. Well, it's not doing anything for you.
You're actually losing money in that case. With inflation, Bill, you're losing money if that money's sitting in a checking account.
Yeah, not to mention the fact you're losing the interest savings. So if you could apply that
That's
income
right.
on a 10% debt, guess what your savings rate is? 10%.
That's right.
And it's tax-free.
That's right.
Because interest saved is interest earned,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So again, your savings rate by getting your income through my program against your debt, the savings is astronomical. And the beauty of it is, since it's self-contained, that 10% savings automatically goes to debt reduction.
Mm-hmm.
So in credit line banking, right, once you have your money in that line of credit, 100% of your money is working for you 24/7.
That's right.
And it's never not working.
That's right. Good point.
So all I've done is I've taken banking, what bankers do, and I've redirected it to the consumer side. So now consumers can bank like bankers
mm-hmm.
instead of banking like a consumer and feeding everybody else's pocket. Because mm-hmm. if you think about it, the whole machine is driven by you, me, and everybody else making a buck and dumping it into our economy.
That's right.
We're the ones that feed the machine.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the ones that have to grow all the fuel, process, and we have to do everything to keep the machine running, and we don't get anything back.
Right.
This is a way to get it back. Put your money to work.
Bill Westrom, again, that's Westrom. Bill, how do folks find you again, real quick?
CreditLineBanking.com.
Perfect. Bill, thank you. It's a joy. We'll have you back.
Thank you, John.
I appreciate it very much. And by the way, he's a cohort of Jordan Goodman, who we will talk to tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour as well. Golden Eagle Financial is up next, folks. And as we just talked about, put your money to work. Talk to Al. Figure out how you're going to do that. It's not just wealth accumulation. Find out how to really plan for the future and how to do so. 303-744-1128 or klzradio.com.
Before you make any decisions about specific strategies to collect your retirement funds, you need to picture yourself in retirement. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, meets with plenty of people who've never thought about how they will spend their retirement years. So he starts every consultation with an exercise in imagination. You probably have a plan bouncing around in your brain somewhere. Starting a business, traveling overseas, volunteering at your church, going on a mission trip, moving closer to family. Al will help you to envision, after decades of hard work, finally having enough time to do what you want. As you describe your future goals, Al will establish a realistic projection of what you'll need in retirement. Start planning early so most of your retirement income can be tax-free. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Follow me around. Go ahead and tell me. That was the last statement Senator Gary Hart made before he dropped out of the presidential race in 1987. By being ever accountable, you are free to do anything you set your mind to. Start your campaign now at klzradio.com/accountable.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe from Jersey, what's going on, sir?
John, well, I'm glad to see you back. I know Andy appreciates you filling in for him.
I'm glad he does.
But I was hoping for Candy C. DeBaca, but you'll do in a pinch.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, were you going to talk Second Amendment sometime today, or did I miss that?
I did during the first hour quite a bit, touched on it a little bit in the second hour as well. And I've actually got some guests coming on later in the week to even get into it further. But, hey, well, I can always talk about it. You know, go for it.
Just a couple of things. I don't know if you saw the email I sent. We are on track to set another new all-time record for gun sales this year. We're probably going to sell, at the rate we're going, more than 40 million guns in this country. So you talked about 350, John. Last year we did 39 million guns. The number is easily over 400 million now.
And that's known. I mean, that's what they know. I'm one that says, Joe, it could be, you know, a third larger than that. They have no idea.
It could. A couple of interesting shifts. There's been a significant shift from normally typical year gun sales are 80% pistols, 20% long guns. Last year it was 60-40. More people are buying long guns, you know, AR-15, shotguns for home defense. And what was really surprising, the number one state by a landslide for gun sales was Illinois.
Illinois, let me get this straight. One of these states with the highest gun control laws in this country.
Most restrictive.
Is also selling the most guns?
Out of the 16 million guns sold in the country, Illinois, with a population of just 12 million, you would have thought it would have been California with 40 million people or Texas with 30 million people or Florida with 20 million people. No, Illinois with 12 million people sold 1.1 million guns in the first 4 months of this year.
Amazing.
1.1 million guns. By the way, I had an interesting thing with my FOID card in New Jersey. If you want to buy a box
of bullets. For everybody listening, what's an FOID?
Firearm Owner's Identification Card, which is also something the state of Illinois has.
Okay.
But in New Jersey, I found out that if I want to go to the range and buy a box of ammunition or go to Home Depot and buy a box of blanks for my .22 nail gun, I needed to get a state-issued firearm owner's ID card. So I applied, paid $100, fingerprint, blah, blah, blah. You know, weeks and weeks and weeks went by. I get a note from the state police that my criminal background check history has been successfully completed. Please contact the sheriff of my local police department who will issue my card. So I wait 3 or 4 weeks. Nothing happens. So I finally, phone calls don't get returned. They give them to the officer who does that. I finally stop in, see the guy in person. He comes out to the desk and says, introduce myself. I've been waiting. I understand how come my card hasn't been issued? And this is what he tells me. Well, we're doing a mental health background check on you. We're waiting to hear back from the state of Colorado to see if you've ever been voluntarily or involuntarily committed to a mental institution in Colorado. And I said, excuse me. I said, I haven't been, but even if I had been, that information is covered by HIPAA, and I never signed a HIPAA release. So you're telling me you're waiting for some information that you can't possibly
They don't have access to, basically.
Right. The state of Colorado can't tell you that. How long, when did you make that request? Well, we made that request 5 weeks ago. I said, and how long were you going to wait before you decided that you were never going to get it? Well, it could be 6 months. Well, I pulled the law in New Jersey, and it said the sheriff shall issue within 30 days. Well, it was like 70 days, and then there was right of appeal, so I called the Superior Court because it said you have the right to a hearing. Called the Superior Court, got a hold of they switched me over to Criminal Division. I get a prosecutor. I said, how do I request a hearing in front of a judge to compel the sheriff? He says, well, what's your situation? I go down the whole list, 75 days, boom, boom, boom. It's been more than two times. He said, can you send me an email, with all those facts and dates? I said, I sure can. He says, by the way, just as we're getting ready to hang up, He said, would you mind if I called the sheriff on this matter, on your behalf? I said, no, not at all. The very next morning, I get a call from the chief of detectives calling on behalf of the sheriff, letting me know my card's going to be issued because this is what I believe happened. Of course, sheriffs are elected.
Right.
I believe the prosecutor told the sheriff, you don't want to go in front of a judge because he's going to yell at you because you have clearly broken the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to have been on record that you went into Superior Court and had a judge yell at you for violating this man's rights.
Mm-hmm.
So one phone call.
But question though, Joe, and you know you're asking yourself this question. You did all of that. How many people just give up and don't?
Oh yeah, because when I said, "Well, how long are you going to wait?" He said, "Well, maybe 6 months." And I'm basically saying, "BS." You know, 6 months.
Right.
The law says 30. You got 30 days to issue or deny, and your failure to issue is a de facto denial. But yeah, how many people are just going to sit right back and take it?
And by the way, I would tell you probably 90%.
Well, I can't.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. We have a bunch of sheep out there, John. They don't understand their rights. They're not willing to fight for their rights. Fortunately, I'm not one of them. I was, you know, I called and requested my hearing, and a prosecutor who I think understood where it was going to wind up pretty
mm-hmm.
quick because he knew I had the right to a hearing. He knew I was dead to rights. He knew the sheriff was wrong. And I'm sure he just called the sheriff and said, look, you don't want to go.
Get this thing handled.
You need to get this thing handled. But if I was just some schmuck, I'd still be sitting here. And then, John, I get the card. It's a piece of cardboard. Doesn't have my date of birth, which means it doesn't indicate how old I am. It doesn't have my race, height, weight, hair color, eye color, and no picture. John, I could loan this to my neighbor. I could make one on my printer.
Oh, my word. So it's not like what we have in Colorado when we get our concealed carry permits.
No.
It's nothing like that.
And I'm saying I waited 14 weeks for this piece of cardboard.
You could have almost printed one up yourself.
Well, now I know that. But the point is, John, it's so worthless. I mean,
unreal.
I could loan it to my brother-in-law. If he wanted to go buy some ammo,
unreal.
I could loan him my piece of cardboard.
He pays cash and leaves. Nobody would know the difference.
Yeah, there's no identifying. So it is these pointless and ineffective
mm-hmm.
gun control laws. And I bring this up because Illinois is one of those states that also enacted FOID cards many years ago, that if you want to buy a rifle or a shotgun in Illinois, you need to have an FO, or a pistol, if you have to have an FOID card. What else is going on? Did you know if your mother's still living?
Yes.
You visit your,
yes.
Did you wish her a happy birthing person's day?
No, I was going to get into that next. I did not wish her a happy birthing person, but I did say happy Mother's Day.
And so did you want to talk about birthing
yeah,
person?
Yeah, let's do it. I've got it in my notes. Let's do it. What? By the way, this has to be some of the most asinine things I've ever heard, Joe.
Well, go ahead. Take it away. Representative Cori Bush, Missouri.
He's referring to women now.
She
She is referring to people as birthing people. She wants to be inclusive here. She refrained from using the word woman during a Democrat Oversight Committee hearing Thursday, where she criticized treatment of black pregnant women, drawing on two personal stories about her own children and pregnancies. By the way, whatever. That has nothing to do with, in my opinion, why you would call black birthing people. So she says, every day black birthing people and our babies die because our doctors don't believe our pain. Which, by the way, I think that's probably a very exaggerated, how should I say this, statement that she made saying that doctors don't believe our pain.
I find that very difficult to believe.
And again, why you would call someone a birthing person versus a woman, because you and I both know there is no possible way for a man ever to deliver a child.
And, John, I think, you know, what George Orwell predicted in 1984, newspeak is here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have women. We have birthing people. It's just, oh, here's another newspeak. Don't know if you know this, but New York City has eliminated Asian hate crimes. Did you know that?
How so?
Well, it turned out that the last three acts of violence committed against Asians were all committed by African-American men and women. So now the news is reporting those attacks against Asian Americans in New York City as random acts of violence. So we no longer have Asian hate crimes. They're random acts of violence.
Okay, real quick, one last thing I wanted to talk to you about now that you called in. I noticed a video that I saw yesterday where it didn't say the name of this place. I'm assuming this was one of the probably one of the harbors out in California, just from the looks of how I was seeing the video being filmed and so on. But essentially, there was a group of individuals there that were running around the harbor writing down what they considered to be all of the offensive boat names, therefore creating a petition whereby people could sign onto the petition about the offensive boat names, or they're going to take this to city council to try to get the harbor master to force these individuals that own these boats to change their names. True story.
John, I didn't see it, but what people have nothing better to do.
Joe, we've entered into a day and age where people are so offended by things, I don't know how they sleep at night.
Well, actually, John, I think, and I've shared this with you before, I think liberals' outrage has become their daily drug. Mm. I go on these liberal websites, and they love to be outraged. And God forbid you point something out, some error or flaw in the story, that will take away their outrage. They get angry at you. They are addicted to outrage. John, I'm serious.
I agree with you on that. I fully agree with you. The Karens of the world, the liberal Karens of the world, if you would, they basically live daily by outrage. You're correct.
Yep, and every morning and that's all these liberal websites do is they spin and they twist and they.
Yep.
And, you know, they tell half the story.
Or flat-out lies, Joe. I mean, let's face it, in some cases, just flat-out lies.
Yep, flat-out lies. Lies of omission. They'll twist facts. They'll only tell half the story. They'll tell something that is a lie. In fact, I saw one where they actually posted a lie where, like, MSNBC had to retract it, and they were still running the original lie that MSNBC had retracted.
These people, Joe, will stop at nothing to make sure their agenda is accomplished. Nothing, unfortunately.
Yep. No. Yeah, and this is when it comes to, you know, you Republicans and conservatives, we care about the process. You know, we don't believe that the end justifies the means.
Right.
If you're a liberal, the end does justify. You'll use any means. You'll lie, cheat, steal, whatever you have to do, attack people.
And that's why, you know, your point, and I talked about this earlier, where you sent me the CDC statement Friday night that came out, which, by the way, no liberal news media site anywhere would ever reproduce or talk about what that announcement was. And the simple fact that this 6-foot rule that was established by the CDC was just some arbitrary thing they came up with that has no scientific backing to it whatsoever. In fact, quite the opposite is true.
That's right, which means all for the past 14 months, all these things about indoor capacity restrictions were nonsense because the rationale behind the capacity restriction was to maintain the 6-foot spacing. Well, now it turns out the 6-foot spacing didn't really matter, which meant that all this 25% capacity stuff was pointless nonsense to begin with.
Which also, if I was a store owner that had invested all that money in making sure that my store was labeled correctly to make sure people stood where they needed to and so on, would you not be a little ticked, Joe?
Oh, I'd be more than a little.
Because that all costs money, by the way. That wasn't free.
it cost business. It cost profits. I would be outraged. I'd be looking to start a petition to.
You know what I would be doing? I would be sending an invoice to the CDC saying I want reimbursed. I'd still send it.
No, but I'd also be looking to oust the politicians like Polis.
Yep.
Who impose these mandates. And if I had if I was in Denver, Hancock, or county commissioners who impose these things, I'd be looked to make a change there.
I agree. Hey, Joe, it's always good talking to you, man.
Well, how about a little gun humor?
Let's hear it.
All right. So here's a conversation with a liberal. Liberal asked me, how many guns should a normal person have? And I say, about 5. And the liberal says, well, that sounds like a gun enthusiast to me. And I say, no. A gun enthusiast would have more like 15. And the liberal says, well, that sounds like someone who's obsessed with guns. And I say, no, people who are obsessed with guns have hundreds. And the liberal says, well, that sounds like a psycho. And I say, no, psychos seldom own guns, or if they do, it's just 1 or 2. And the liberal says, well, that sounds like a normal person, though. I said, no, a normal person has about 5. We've already been there.
Yeah, it's a joke, but it's true.
It's true.
That's the fact of the matter. It's true. Joe, love you. Thanks for all that you do and all you send, and I really appreciate it very much, sir. Thank you.
All right. You take care.
Have a great evening. Let's do this. We'll take our last time out for the day. I'll come back. I got a couple things to cover. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. You just heard a moment ago from our expert on how to save money. Keep your car running, folks. That's the best thing you can do to save money is not buying another one, but keep what you have running and running as long as you can. Do that at Extreme Auto Repair, 303-841-1071, or find them at klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, folks, Flesh and Beck, and Kevin Flesh, great guy. We have him on air all the time. I love talking to him. Just a down-to-earth individual attorney, one of the best attorneys I know, if not the. And here's the reality of things, folks. Insurance companies want to settle. They really do. They have no desire to go to court, to do anything, any more than they absolutely have to on your behalf. It's their goal to settle with as least amount of payments as possible. Kevin's job is to come in and make sure that you're made whole. If you're not getting made whole, call Kevin today, 303-806-8886. And I want to remind you all that the insurance company is not your friend, especially if it's not your insurance company. 303-806-8886 or find him at fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills. And the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
All right, folks, good shop. They've got three locations to serve you. They'll work directly with your insurance company. And please, make sure you get made whole in this area as well. Whole with your car. That is 720-541-7697 or klzradio.com.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal. To help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision. And mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Again, thank you all for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Got a little weather coming in tonight. Shouldn't have too much. But as I said in the very first part of the show, if we get a little bit of snow tonight and there's even some on the grass, they will mark this down as the second longest snow season in Colorado history. So for a lot of those folks out there that maybe believe in climate change, global warming, and so on, does the climate have pockets of change from time to time? Of course it does. We see those cycles, and I've seen them in Colorado my entire life that I've lived here. I've seen really nice, dry, you know, I shouldn't say nice in that way. I've seen dry winters where maybe there's a lot of snow in the mountains, not much out on the plains, or the reverse happens. I've seen, you know, you name it, the large storms, the 2-foot storms. I've seen the Indian summers. You know what? I've watched it all, and Charlie has as well. Charlie has been here almost as long as I have, and the reality is these things come and go. They change. We have long, you know, long winters certain years, and other years you might only have 2 or 3 snowstorms. So that's Colorado. That's the way it is. It's the cycles that we go through. No, it's not global warming. No, it's not man-made, and no, it's not because of you. Don't give yourself that much credit, those of you that are on the left that think you can control the climate, because the reality is you don't. So I'll leave you with that. Enjoy your night tonight, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. Jordan Goodman joining us in the first hour. America's Money Answer Man. If you got any questions along those lines, make sure you call us then. Otherwise, we'll see you then. If you missed the first hour, it is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.